Thank you, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, thus in the universe family of God, for listening to my podcast, Personal God Consciousness in Jesus and Living Eternal Truths. I am Brother Dave, your host. Please visit my large website, www.purechristians.org, or ledbyjesus.org, same website. You'll find many valuable and comprehensive religious and spiritual resources there. When you get there, scroll about 25% down the homepage, and then you may read, download, and share my always free 100-page PDF of key highlights of my books on the nature, life, and teachings of our Creator, Son of God, and Son of Man, Jesus Christ. If any here wish to receive by email a free copy of the text on our show, comment, ask questions, or receive more free text, just email me, dave@purechristians.org. Freely we have received truth in God's Spirit. Freely we love to share His truth. We hope and pray that you do too. We thank you, our brothers and sisters in the perfecting family of God, of all mankind here on earth. We thank you all for listening. Thank you for your spiritual support. We thank you for sharing gems of truth with others. We have selected verses and paragraphs on this topic from the Christian Bible and from the unique 2,097-page Fifth Epical Revelation of Truth, which is named the Urantia Book. And that revelation was given around AD 1935. It's in modern American English, and it allows our seeking minds and souls much joy and enthusiasm as we read these powerful verses. All reflective, truth-seeking humans on this planet will find some value from these readings. It's freely available online. There's no copyright because only humans can hold a copyright, and this revelation was given by superhumans, so it's fully in the public domain, and so it allows us to then share portions of it wisely with others. So now we'll continue.
Here are some highlights, part four, from my purechristians.org website on topical study 132, True and False Liberty and Freedom on All Levels. So now we'll continue. This is the Urantia book. Urantia is the name of our planet Earth. And we're in starting now paper 69. There's 196 papers total. Paper 69, Primitive Human Institutions, Section 5, The Beginnings of Capital. This will be paragraph 13. Accumulations of wealth early became the badge of social distinction. Individuals in certain tribes would accumulate property for years just to create an impression by burning it up on some holiday or by freely distributing it to fellow tribesmen. This made them great men. Even modern peoples revel in the lavish distribution of Christmas gifts, while rich men endow great institutions of philanthropy and learning. Man's technique varies, but his disposition remains quite unchanged. But that's just in this short first lifetime. We will go through 570 higher spiritual heavens and higher soul form, and then later we'll go through over 1 billion spirit heavens and even higher spirit forms. And so we'll gradually perfect, where we're finally all spirit perfected enough to be eternal residents in paradise. So it's a long process, roughly a trillion years. So what we do here in 75 years or so is just a beginning. So it's good to have a long distance perspective. Now the next paragraph is paragraph 15. Though capital has tended to liberate man, it has greatly complicated his social and industrial organization. The abuse of capital by unfair capitalists does not destroy the fact that it is the basis of modern industrial society. Through capital and invention, the present generation, this is written 1934-1935, the present generation enjoys a higher degree of freedom than any that ever preceded it on earth. This is placed on record as a fact and not in justification of the many abuses of capital by thoughtless and selfish custodians. I add, social progress can only come with capitalism, not socialism or communism of elitist dictators. Section 8, Slavery as a Factor of Civilization, paragraph 11. While the ideal of society is universal freedom, idleness should never be tolerated. All able-bodied persons should be compelled to do at least a self-sustaining amount of work. Section 9, Private Property. Now, paragraph 5, item number 3. The desire for liberty and leisure In the earlier days of social evolution, the apportionment of individual earnings among the group was virtually a form of slavery. The worker was made slave to the idler. This was the suicidal weakness of communism or socialism. The improvident habitually lived off the thrifty. Even in modern times, the improvident depend on the state thrifty taxpayers to take care of them. Those who have no capital still expect those who have to feed them. I add, that will lead to national collapse. Look now at Venezuela and other socialist and communist countries. Paragraph 7. In earliest times, women were the property of the community, and the mother dominated the family. See, because they didn't know who the father was, but they were pretty sure who the mother was. Reading on, the early chiefs owned all the land and were proprietors of all the women. Marriage required the consent of the tribal ruler. With the passing of communism, women were held individually, and the father gradually assumed domestic control. Thus, the home had its beginning, and the prevailing polygamous customs were gradually displaced by monogamy. And then they add here, polygamy is the survival of the female-slavery element in marriage. Monogamy is the slave-free ideal of the matchless association of one man and one woman in the exquisite enterprise of home-building, offspring-rearing, mutual culture, and self-improvement. It's very important that we preserve the normal nuclear family of one responsible adult male father, one responsible adult female mother to get married and unite and co-create more sons and daughters of God for our loving Father God. Very, very important. If not, you'll have like Rome, you'll have collapse. Paragraph 16, private ownership brought increased liberty and enhanced stability. But private ownership of land was given social sanction only after communal control and direction had failed, after communism had failed. And it was soon followed by a succession of slaves, serfs, and landless classes. But improved machinery is gradually setting men free from slavery's toil. And when they say men, that means women too. They use male pronouns here, a man, mankind, and so on, because all humans, male or female, are equally classified spiritually as sons of God. There are no daughters of God in human form. Males or females are all sons of God. The daughters of God are the many types of angels, which are invisible spirit-like beings. Paper 70, The Evolution of Human Government. See, we're advancing here from early humanity to more modern. This covers hundreds of thousands of years of time. Now we're in Section 1, The Genesis of War, Paragraph 2. War is an animalistic reaction to misunderstandings and irritations. Peace attends upon the civilized solution of all such problems and difficulties. The Sagic races, together with the later deteriorated Adamites and Nodites, were all belligerent. Now we're talking about 8 different human races here, eventually 9. The Andonites really taught the Golden Rule, and even today, their Eskimo descendants live very much by that code. Custom is strong among them, and they are fairly free from violent antagonisms. Section 7, Primitive Clubs and Secret Societies, Paragraph 9. Commercialized prostitution began when these men's clubs paid money for the use of women from other tribes. But the earlier groups were remarkably free from sex laxity. Now, in the Bible and in the Ranch Book, it mentions when Jesus was here about 2,000 years ago, the priest in Jerusalem, in the temple at Jerusalem, they had prostitutes right there in the temple. Temple prostitutes. Those women thought that they were doing a great favor to act as prostitutes to the priests and rabbis and scribes and high officials in the temple. So we're gradually getting better at a slow pace. Now we go to paragraph 12. Following these years of rigorous discipline and training, just before marriage, the young men were usually released for a short period of leisure and freedom, after which they returned to marry and to submit to lifelong subjection to the tribal taboos, the tribal rule. This ancient custom has continued down to modern times as the foolish notion of, quote, sowing wild oats, unquote. I suggest count the costs first. Terrible costs for promiscuity. More deadly venereal diseases now than ever before. I won't go into detail, but look up and you see what's going on. But right now, everything is COVID fear, and they forget about all these deadly venereal diseases and other problems that humans have. Okay, now we will go to Section 9, Human Rights, Paragraph 1. Nature confers no rights on man, only life and a world in which to live it. Nature does not even confer the right to live, as might be deduced by considering what would likely happen if an unarmed man or woman met a hungry tiger face to face in the primitive forest. Society's prime gift to man is security. Gradually, society asserted its rights, and at the present time, 1935, they are, and there's, I think, 10 or 12 here. Number one, assurance of food supply. Two, military defense, security through preparedness. And that's very important today. Number three, internal peace preservation, prevention of personal violence and social disorder. Four, sex control, marriage, the family institution. That must be controlled. The church has tried to do it, but it also has to be legislated. Number five, property, the right to own. That's private property. Capitalism, not communism. Number six, fostering of individual and group competition. Seven, provision for educating and training youth. Proper education, not some of the junk that's taught today. Number eight, promotion of trade and commerce, industrial development. Nine, improvement of labor conditions and rewards. 10, the guarantee of the freedom of religious practices to the end that all of these other social activities may be exalted by becoming spiritually motivated. Very, very important. Everything must be eventually spiritually motivated. Does it do good to all? Do you try to love everybody equally as God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit do? Those are spiritual motivations that must be applied eventually. Doing good to all people, not being selective. But we have to be exacting as far as wisdom, the abilities in industry or commerce or writing or psychology or philosophy, or spirituality, theology. Some people are better, or music, for example, or art. Some people are better than others. And so we can't say that everybody is equal and that if you're going to have a race, let's say a high school race of 100-yard dash, and besides high school people, you put in 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, kindergarten, and you put in a few college graduates that are professional runners, because everybody's equal. That'd be a stupid race. Only the professional runners would win everything, and everybody else would lose. But then they want to grant a winning prize to everybody because they did the race. So everybody gets an equal prize. You're the greatest. But see, that is all theoretical, but that does not work in practice. There has to be godly and righteous discrimination of abilities and talents and so on. But on the other hand, we don't want to have a worship of celebrities that we do today. That's the other extreme. Listen to a celebrity because they're a famous sports figure or movie star. So you listen to what they say for everything else. Doesn't work. Wisdom is not applied just to celebrities. All right, Section 11, Laws and Courts, Paragraph 2. Law is always at first negative and prohibitive. In advancing civilization, it becomes increasingly positive and directive. So it should be spirit-directed by God's indwelling spirit within us. That's the highest directive reality there is, eternal. Reading on, early society operated negatively, granting the individual the right to live by imposing upon all others the command, quote, you shall not kill, unquote. Every grant of rights or liberty to the individual involves curtailment of the liberties of all others. This is effected by the taboo primitive law. The whole idea of the taboo is inherently negative. For a primitive society was wholly negative in its organization, and the early administration of justice consisted in the enforcement of the taboos. But originally, these laws applied only to fellow tribesmen, as is illustrated by the later-day Hebrews, who had a different code of ethics for dealing with the Gentiles. They called the Gentiles dogs, and he could do just about anything he wanted to with dogs. They weren't humans, see, according to the early Hebrew theology. And Jesus was very much against that, of course. So he gave the Good Samaritan parable and many others. I state, God and Jesus love all humans equally. They are no respecter of persons and treat all humans equally. We are called to do the same and not be judgmental just because somebody has a different skin color or a different philosophy or politics or religion or whatever. But we can discriminate and be very discriminating. For example, when we vote, whether we want to vote for one person or another, that requires a lot of experience, wisdom, and understanding. And we have to do that. But at the same time, the people that we don't want to vote for, we should realize that God loves them just as much as the people we do vote for. And that is true in the big eternal picture. All right, now we go to section 12, allocation of civil authority. Paragraph 5, Urantia, that's earth, mortals are entitled to liberty. They should create their systems of government. They should adopt their constitutions, constitution, very important, or other charters of civil authority and administrative procedure. And having done this, they should select their most competent and worthy fellows as chief executives. For representatives in the legislative branch, they should elect only those who are qualified intellectually and morally to fulfill such sacred responsibilities. Not just secular, but sacred responsibilities. As judges of their high and supreme tribunals, only those who are endowed with natural ability and who have been made wise by replete, that's more than complete, replete experience, should be chosen. Anybody in high office, whether it's executive, legislative, or judicial, should be required to go through at least 8 to 12 years of college to prepare them for that. They can't just be people off the street that win an election because they look good or pay people off or whatnot, the way things are done today. They have to be rigorously examined and tested to get the very best people. We fail doing that quite a bit still. Paragraph 6, if men, that's all humans, would maintain their freedom, they must, after having chosen their charter of liberty, provide for its wise, intelligent, and fearless interpretation to the end that there may be prevented. Now, these are things to be prevented. Number 1, usurpation of unwarranted power by either the executive or legislative branches. 2, machinations of ignorant and superstitious agitators. 3, retardation of scientific progress. Now, I have a background in science and technology before I was interested in sharing the gospel and theology. And so I add, for example, present-day false fears of global warming, climate change, nuclear fission, and soon-coming nuclear fusion, electric power generation. All that is unscientific to fear that. Now, on this oncoming nuclear electric power generation, that's how God provides energy to all the planets. It's done by suns. And how do suns run? They don't run on solar panels or wind turbines. They don't run on hydroelectric plants. They don't run with nuclear fission. They run on nuclear fusion. All planets, all living planets, are heated by nuclear fusion in the suns, which are stars. And to see what's coming on Earth, this is wonderful news, go to iter.org, iter.org, and you'll see the development of nuclear fusion here on Earth. We'll have miniature suns, miniature stars on Earth to provide unlimited energy. Much detail is given there. And it will be totally safe and clean. Nuclear fission and nuclear fusion are the best high-energy producers that are totally safe and totally clean. But you've been given so much disinformation, anti-scientific junk in the media, that a lot of people don't believe that. They're scared to death. And that happened back when we had electricity developed. People said, oh, electricity is from Satan. And they said, you'll get cancer, heart trouble, Your hair will fall out. You'll be sterile. They said a thousand things would go bad if you had electricity coming into your home or business. Well, no, electricity is good. Everybody likes it now, just about. So these fears have to go away if we're going to progress. Number four is stalemate of the dominance of mediocrity. If you get one man, one vote, that's the dominance of mediocrity. That's going to have to be differentiated somehow. We'll talk a little bit about that further on here. Five, domination by vicious minorities. Six, control by ambitious and clever would-be dictators. I add, criminal corruption of illegal popular vote is happening. Very serious, worldwide, not just in the USA. Number seven, disastrous distribution of panics. I add here, COVID-19. Have you ever heard about COVID-19? COVID-19 has been stated in the major USA media almost, fasten your seatbelt, almost 7 billion times and climbing. Fear not. Who says that? Who here in spirit says that? Fear not. Be of good cheer. I am with you always. Our sovereign, greater Son of God, Jesus Christ, Michael, fully here in spirit, continually states, fear not. And we should love and follow him, and not these other fools. Number eight, exploitation by the unscrupulous. I'll give you an example. Step right up. You have to look up that song. Not in 1977 by, oh, I forget his name. The last name is Wait. Step right up. Don't save and wait. Buy right now. Nothing down. Blah, blah, blah. Ha. This has made people slaves to such high credit interest rates. People are slaves to that. But see, they play, the smart people play on human desire to have the best of, you know, the prettiest car, fastest car, or the best jewelry, or best vacations, all that. All these wants, the best yacht, whatever, all these big ticket items. That's what people do to rein in people. They make slaves out of these people trying to keep up with the Joneses. But that's what people want, so they'll learn from that eventually. Number nine, taxation and enslavement of the citizenry by the state. I state, sadly, the present big government regulations, property taxes, sales taxes, many other taxes, will destroy our country. The people have to control taxation, not the government. The people will say how much taxation they want. And then the government can figure out how to tax people that are, you know, big industries and rich organizations can pay the taxes more than just common people. I have an old house, two-story Victorian house, built about 135 years ago. And I found a few years back, I found the deed of who owned the house before. And I found that a lot of people were kicked out for failing to pay taxes of $10 a year. And they couldn't pay it. So they lost the home. Now, this house was lost over five or six times because people could not pay that high tax of $10 a year. Now it's thousands of dollars a year. Terrible. Let's go on. Number 10 that we should avoid doing is failure of social and economic fairness. We must have fair society, fair economy. And that's not very good right now either. Okay, now we go on. Paragraph 17. Item number one, union of church and state. And that's something that we have to get away from. The early time we had the church and state unified, and that was terrible. I add, this is good news. Ongoing personal God consciousness at all times and in all places will soon replace dictatorial ecclesiastic authorities, temple tycoons, shamans of shame, and all mere human intermediaries between God's spirits directly indwelling and guiding you and me and all humans and the family of God on earth and in heaven. Personal God consciousness is coming. And you can see that now. Many churches in Europe have closed down. People don't want to be dictated to as to what has to be done the same as 2,000 years ago. We are progressing. We should be more moral now than 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, or 400,000, 500,000 years ago. Jesus taught that. He told the apostles that he hoped that the apostles would rise to become more spiritual, more aware, and more bearing of the fruits of the Spirit than even the best of the prophets of the Old Testament. Isaiah, actually two Isaiahs were the best prophets of the Old Testament. Jesus said he hoped that the apostles would rise above that, because for the most part they did not, but now they are, now they're up in the higher heavens. They're progressing, I'm sure, well beyond that point, being up there about 2,000 years. Now we go to paragraph 19. These are the purposes and aims of constitutional tribunals acting as governors upon the engines of representative government on an evolutionary world. We are evolving on this sick, dark planet. Believe it or not, we're still slowly evolving. That's God's will. And note here, I stated constitutional tribunals. The U.S. Constitution must be maintained and followed without changes that would weaken the powerful liberties that we have in the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights. Okay, now we go to paragraph 20. Mankind's struggle to perfect government on Urantia has to do with perfecting channels of administration, with adapting them to ever-changing current needs, with improving power distribution within government, and then with selecting such administrative leaders as are truly wise. Wisdom. They must be wise. While there is a divine and ideal form of government, such cannot be revealed, but must be slowly and laboriously discovered by the men and women of each planet throughout the universes of time and space. And I add, in this first grand universe supreme age, there will be 7 trillion human-inhabited planets. Right now it's about 4 or 5 trillion, I think. Eventually, an unlimited, infinite cosmos will be comprehended by humans as real. God, the universal Father, infinite I Am, is actually super infinite and omnipresent. He has no outside and no beyond, no past and no future. He's timeless. He's eternal, fully. And he has become as you are so that you may continue to choose to be as he is. That was stated very close words to that by Jesus. Be as he is. Spirit perfected and in spiritual liberty and an eternal glorious life, and much more, is our divine destiny. Thank you, our loving Father God. Now we go to paper 71, Development of the State, section 1, the embryonic state, paragraph 22. A great weakness in Roman civilization and a factor in the ultimate collapse of the empire was the supposed liberal and advanced provision for the emancipation of the boy at 21, and the unconditional release of the girl, so that she was at liberty to marry a man of her own choosing, or to go abroad in the land to become immoral. The harm to society consisted not in these reforms themselves, but rather in the sudden and extensive manner of their adoption. The collapse of Rome indicates what may be expected when a state undergoes too rapid extension associated with internal degeneration. Now we go to section 2, the evolution of representative government, paragraph 9. There are 10 steps or stages to the evolution of a practical and efficient form of representative government. Not socialism, not communism, but representative capitalism. And these steps are, number 1, freedom of the person. Slavery, serfdom, and all forms of human bondage must disappear. 2. Freedom of the mind. Unless a free people are educated, taught to think intelligently and plan wisely, freedom usually does more harm than good. Number 3, the reign of law. Liberty can be enjoyed only when the will and whims of human rulers are replaced by legislative enactments in accordance with accepted fundamental law. 4, freedom of speech. Look at the colleges now. They're suppressing speech in our colleges. Representative government is unthinkable without freedom of all forms of expression for human aspirations and opinions. All forms. We must beware now of so-called cancel culture and communist brainwashing. Number 5, security of property. No government can long endure if it fails to provide for the right to enjoy personal property in some form. I'll read that again. No government can long endure if it fails to provide for the right to enjoy personal property in some form. Man craves the right to use, control, bestow, sell, lease, and bequeath his personal property. Number 6, the right to petition. Representative government assumes the right of citizens to be heard. The privilege of petition is inherent in free citizenship. Right now, there are petitions to remove several state governors and other legislators. Hopefully, that will go through. Some of those people must be removed. Number 7, the right to rule. It is not enough to be heard. Power of petition must progress to the actual management of the government. The people must manage the government, not the government manage and dictate to the people. Responsible, moral, righteous people must manage the government. Number 8, universal suffrage. There's a voting. Representative government presupposes an intelligent, efficient, and universal electorate. The character of such a government will ever be determined by the character and caliber of those who compose it. As civilization progresses, suffrage, that's voting, while remaining universal for both sexes, will be effectively modified, regrouped, and otherwise differentiated. I add this, might be a little shocking to some. One man, one vote will destroy a society. One brilliant, wise, moral human must have more votes than an immoral idiot or criminal. Voter ID, voting in person, no mail-in ballots, voting tests must soon happen. Wise people giving more votes than dumb people. People that have proven that they're efficient, especially in a field. In the future, this revelation states that the maximum votes will be 10. But you start out at, let's say, at age 21 with one vote if you're an average normal person. And then you can only gain one more vote every 5 years. So you'll be up roughly about age 65 before you get 10 votes. That happens to very few people. And usually it's in a special field. If you're an organic chemist, that's a specialized field. So anytime you got a vote on something pertaining to organic chemistry, you should be given more votes. We're going to have to differentiate voting by topic and expertise. That would be ideal. Number 9, control of public servants. No civil government will be serviceable and effective unless the citizenry possess and use wise techniques of guiding and controlling office holders and public servants. See, the people are guiding and controlling the government, not the other way around. We've got an oppressive too big government now trying to tell us what to do. We need to reflect on that. How would God want us to do that, righteously and morally? Okay, number 10, intelligent and trained representation. The survival of democracy is dependent on successful representative government. That is conditioned upon the practice of electing to public offices only those individuals who are technically trained for years in colleges, intellectually competent, socially loyal, and morally fit. The largest number of politicians don't qualify, though. Only by such provisions can government of the people, by the people, and for the people be preserved. So many people trying to destroy that now. Dark state, deep state, whatever you want to call it. It's worldwide. The United States is not controlling itself. It's being controlled by other large worldwide nations illegally right now. All right, Section 3, the Ideals of Statehood, Paragraph 1. The political or administrative form of a government is of little consequence provided it affords the essentials of civil progress. What's that? Liberty, security, education, and social coordination. It's not what a state is, but what it does that determines the course of social evolution. And after all, no state can transcend the moral values of its citizenry as exemplified in their chosen leaders. Ignorance and selfishness will ensure the downfall of even the highest type of government. Paragraph 7. The laws of the ideal state are few in number, and they have passed out the negativistic taboo age into the era of the positive progress of individual liberty consequent upon enhanced self-control. Aha! You want more liberty? You must have enhanced self-control. The exalted state not only compels its citizens to work, but also entices them into profitable and uplifting utilization of the increasing leisure which results from toil liberation by the advancing machine age. Leisure must produce as well as consume. Paragraph 8. No society has progressed very far when it permits idleness or tolerates poverty. But poverty and dependence can never be eliminated if the defective and degenerate stocks are freely supported and permitted to reproduce without restraint. I add, godly law and order must be done to avoid certain collapse as Rome did and the long dark ages came. Now, on reproduction, I don't believe in murdering or forced sterilization of defectives so they don't reproduce. I think that's too extreme. But here's how it can be done, possibly. The government could give, let's say, $5,000 to $50,000 to people that are defective. It's not their fault if they're born low IQ or physically handicapped. But you don't want to transmit those defects into your own children. So they could say, if you have a slight defect, maybe they'll offer you $5,000 to get voluntarily sterilized, painlessly. You know, there's many ways they can do that. And if they're really defective, you could offer them maybe $50,000 to get voluntarily sterilized. And even if a person now is totally normal, no defects, but they don't like children, that is a moral or spiritual defect if you don't like children, see, they should be allowed to voluntarily sterilize themselves. In fact, you might want to pay them $5,000 because then they're not going to have children and they're not going to reproduce this tendency to avoid having children. Those that produce children have children that want to be more like their parents. It's genetic to some degree, and they'll want to have children. So in the future, the people that don't want to have children will be dying out, and the people that want to have children will be increasing and increasing. And with the ability to go to other planets pretty soon in the next few hundred years or less, then there's no problem of overpopulation of our planet Earth. On that, right now, with our present technology, if things were fair and we didn't have dictators and tyrants selling food to exchange food that we give them for military weapons and so on, so they can be dictators, they want to have a big military force to, you know, keep them in power. If we had that problem avoided, then we would be able to enact and have a far more progressive society. Now, Section 7, Education, Paragraph 4. Education recently passed from the control of the clergy to that of lawyers and businessmen. Eventually, it must be given over to the philosophers and the scientists. Teachers must be free beings, real leaders, to the end that philosophy, the search for wisdom, may become the chief educational pursuit. I add, true education should strive to have all students desire and learn to be a well-balanced divine human personality, as our good Master Jesus Christ is. Close right here. We'll continue in about 2 weeks or less. And rather than saying goodbye, I say farewell. Do well. Thank you.